Welcome to One-on-One. Today, my guest is Zdeněk Marek. Born in 1925 in the heart of Moravia, in the town of Proskejov, Zdeněk Marek made his fame in the late 1940s, playing ice hockey for some of Czechoslovakia's top teams, including Sparta Prague. More importantly, he was a member of the national team that won the 1949 World Championship in Sweden. The event changed his life. The occasion allowed Marek to escape from Czechoslovakia, where the Iron Curtain was descending, to start anew in the West. I spoke to Mr. Marek, now in his 80s, via phone to New York, and he told me about his escape. But he began by describing how, as a teenager, he first discovered hockey as a sport.
Let me tell you something about hockey. I didn't realize, you know, that hockey is going to be important in my life. I was very good in other sports, you know, skating and everything, except I had no intention or idea to play hockey. However, my brother, 2 years older, he had hockey skates and hockey stick. Then happened, you know, something that is the only reason that I'm sitting here in the United States, that my brother got flat feet. Absolutely the reason that I'm sitting here in the United States. My brother got flat feet, and he couldn't skate anymore. So he gave me the hockey skates and the hockey stick. I was either 13 or 14. The nearest pond was about like a 10-minute walk from my house, and there were kids, you know, playing hockey, so I joined them and I started to play hockey. From first time I put the hockey skate and hockey stick, I was a hockey player.
How then did you continue going from the town of Proskejov to becoming a player for the national team?
Well, first I played on the junior team in my hometown. Then I went to study at the university in Prague. So I still was a member of my hockey club in Proskejov, but I was practicing with LTC Praha. Then when I was studying in Prague, I played for hockey team Sparta Praha. And at that point, I was pretty good. I was drafted to the army, okay? And I asked to be transferred to ATK to play for the team, for the army, ATK.
As a player, did you have any kind of signature moves that players often have today? Gretzky, for instance, was famous for the wraparound goal. Did you have any kind of move that was yours, signature move?
No, I was strictly, you know, the old-fashioned hockey player. I was the center forward, and in those days, there was no fighting in the corners. There was very little fighting in front of the goal, you know. I was the playmaker. I wasn't the goal scorer. I had the wings to score the goals. That was my style of play. I was a very good stick handler, but I wasn't the greatest shot. For some reason, I feel it's not my job to score goals. I had the wings to do it. By the way, let me tell you something about hockey in Czechoslovakia. People who play hockey now, they have no idea how much fun it was to play hockey in the 40s and in the 50s, you know. For example, you know, we never practiced. I mean, really practiced. I think there was nobody on any team, that means, you know, LTC, Sparta, or ATK, or my team, that would ever lifted a weight or doing anything like that. We just had fun. It was unbelievable. I went to play as a second national team, Czech national team. We went to play in England and Scotland. And at that point, 48, at that point, you know, when we were in Scotland, the Communist Party took over the government. Now, we were out of the country, and so we said, are we going to go back? Are we going to stay? Well, we decided to go back. How bad could it be?
When the communists slowly began to take power, could you feel a mood of oppression settling in?
After the communists took power, they took away our property. You know, we own a big apartment house in Proskejov, and we own a restaurant, nightclub, and a restaurant. So my father had to donate the restaurant and the building to the country. Let me put it this way: you weren't free, and you had to be a little afraid. You know what you say, and everything was you know, slightly disturbing.
Now I understand that tragedy also struck at this time.
I believe at that point there were some hockey players on the national team. Some of the players couldn't get on the main aeroplane, so they traveled across the English Channel in a small plane, and they disappeared. They never found them. So they needed, you know, the substitute for them, and that's how I got on the first national team.
Did you go to Sweden knowing that you weren't going to come back?
I didn't know whether I was coming back or not. I had kind of a feeling that I might not be coming back. My mind was on other things than hockey.
It was a big gold win for the team in 49.
Yes,
yes. It was the second win. Did you have any feelings about the win itself, considering that you were planning such a monumental personal decision? Did the gold actually mean anything for you?
I don't remember, but probably no. You know, my mind was already, you know, somewhere else. I'll tell you about what happened in Sweden. Of course they were watching. When we went to Sweden, they were the two men. Their only job was to watch the team. They didn't know anything about hockey. They were just there to watch the team. We won the world championship. We had the dinner, you know, and everything. And I was sitting next to the manager of the team, you know, having dinner. And we were just about finishing. And the manager of the team told me, hey, Marek, go upstairs and bring me back your passport. Because the day before I borrowed this passport at the pretext that I wanted to change some Swedish money or something, you know, whatever it is. So he lent me my passport. So I said, okay. So I went upstairs. One of the chambermaids hid the suitcase somewhere in the attic. And I took the passport. I went downstairs to the lobby. Now, in the lobby were those two guys whose job was to guard the team, okay? So they said, look, Marek, where are you going? We are going to leave soon. I said, look, you know, I met this nice young lady. I have to go to say goodbye to her before we leave. So they say, okay, but don't forget to come back. And I forgot to come back. And that's how I stayed in Sweden. They went to the train. Everybody was slightly high. And when they were calling the name, if somebody, when they called my name, they said here. So when they left Sweden, the team didn't even know that I wasn't there. The next day was one of the worst days of my life, or somehow, you know, that you can possibly imagine. I woke up. I knew that the team left. I knew that I was in a country that I didn't speak the language. It was raining. It was the dreariest day that you can imagine. So depressing. Meanwhile, there were dozens of newspaper reporters looking for me. The whole town knew that I escaped and they were looking for me. I was the biggest sensation.
What about Czechoslovakia?
Yes. You know, I know for a fact that my name was erased from all the records, ice hockey records. Even, you know, from the pictures and everything, it was just like as if I did not exist.
And One-on-One with Jan Wellinger has brought us to the end of the program. From me, Pavla Horáková, and the rest of the team here at Radio Prague, goodbye and thanks for listening.